Your Family Matters with Carla Dedessi here every Friday from 8 until 9. I hope that you'll join us on WFYL 1180. You can stream in around the country, around the world. And we do have listeners from not only here in Philadelphia, but all around. Today, I'd like to talk to you about a fabulous experience that my children had. My sister-in-law asked if my little girls could go to an art performance class. Camp, actually. It was all week long at their church. And, you know, my girls go to Vacation Bible School every summer, and they have such a fabulous time there. But I was very intrigued by something offered for the children that teaches them about singing and dancing and acting, all for the glory of God. So I signed them up. I said, absolutely, let's do it. And they sent me a CD in the mail that I had to listen to with the children in the car so that they were really prepared for their first day of camp. And one of the songs that was on this is a song by Toby Mac called Lose My Soul. And I'm going to play it for you in a couple of minutes, just a little bit. But, you know, I am very classically minded mom. I love, you know, Mozart, Beethoven. I love the old hymns. And this is the first time that I was introduced to Toby Mac. My children will tell you that I probably have listened to this song 5,000 times in the last couple of weeks. This is our new family song that we rock out to. And I'm actually going to use this song. Over the last few months, I've used God Is Not Dead, which is a fabulous song by the Newsboys that I think epitomizes our show here, Your Family Matters. But this is going to be our new family song personally, but also our new song for this season is going to be Lose My Soul. And let me just share with you some of the words that Toby Mac shares with us. And I hope that this is the prayer for my own personal life, my family's life, and I pray that it's the same for you. He says, I want to tell you something. I'm not going to let these material things get in my way. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me stay that way through all life's demands, because they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be, like I'm going to be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'm going to be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist that rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Listen, go onto YouTube, listen to this for yourself. The chorus says, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. I don't want to walk away. And again, he says, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. And as you know, this song was created from the Bible verse in Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, which tells us, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So we're going to listen to that. I needed to share the lyrics with you because, you know, I've listened to it 5,000 times, so now I know the lyrics, but, you know, everything's so fabulous about this song, but you do need to really listen to what Toby Mac is saying. So here we go.
Man, I want to tell y'all something, man. Man, I'm not going to let these material things get in my way, y'all. I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy?
Let's go. Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands, cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me, and every little thing I make up my mind to be, like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix, and I'ma be a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me, though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose, and I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
Flashes, and they think that it's you, but they don't know that who you are. stars, not what you do. True, we get it twisted when we peek at the charts. Yo, before we part from the start, where's your heart?
You a pimp?
Hustler? Tell me what's your title? America has no more stars, now we call them idols. You said idol, while we teach prosperity. The first thing to prosper should be inside me. Never cause a 22's on the range, but Christ came in range. We said yes, now we change. Not the same, even though I met a fall. Since I got that call, no more Saul, now I'm home.
Yep. I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
So what can I say? I've been converted to rap. At 40 years old, I love rap. And I love Toby Mac. So I encourage you to go on, listen to the lyrics of that song, but really put to heart that we as Christians, we do not want to gain the whole world and lose our soul. Everything that we would have done here would be for naught. So teach that really important purpose to your kids. So again, we're going to go back to A Tale of Two Houses. This is the production that was done at camp for the week that my children had the privilege of being involved with. And it was performed by Lamplight Ministries, all about kids productions. So if they are coming your way, I would really encourage you to sign your children up for this. It was very reasonably priced. It was $150 per child, and it was 9 to 8 every day. But anyway, today in the studio, I have with me Eric. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us this morning. He was my daughter's favorite camp counselor. They actually made him chocolate chip cookies this morning. They brought them to him. We made them yesterday, but they brought him in to him. And I just want to share a little bit about Eric. He is a Philadelphia native, I believe. But he is going to be leaving us and going to Maryland. He has a teaching position there at Campus Compose Rose. How do I say it? Compass Rose. I'm sorry, I wrote it down wrong. Compass Rose in Maryland. But he has a BA in art, right? Graduated in theater. And you've worked at All About Kids Productions for the last two seasons. That's why you're so good at it. So tell me a little bit, what inspired you to get involved with Lamp Light Ministries?
Yeah, well, they came to my school just to like set up a table and talk to us about like what they do and how we can get involved. And it was one of the very few options that was like a summer internship in the arts. And so that was really appealing that I could get an internship that way. And so I checked it out and saw that they were really firm in what they believed with wanting to get the gospel across to kids, which is super great. And it's also unique because it's a traveling internship. So you could go so many different places during the summer, and it was going to be just an awesome experience.
So for those people that might be listening that want to intern and have this fabulous experience that you have had, it sounds like every week you're in a different state, in a different city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're with the same 24 interns or the same people that are going from church to church and doing this fabulous ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We all come to the beginning of camp, and he has a certain amount of interns. This year we had 16.
Okay.
And then he being our boss, sorry, he divides us up into teams. And then we're with that team for the rest of the summer.
Okay.
So some of us stay in the Maryland area. That's where the majority of the camps are. But my team got to go to Pennsylvania three times. Another team went to Louisiana for a three-week stint. And another team got to go to Illinois as well.
And where do you stay when you go to these different cities or churches?
We stay with host homes that the church provides, which is a super cool opportunity. Like, the first time I did it, I kept on thinking, I feel like I'm Paul on a missionary journey, you know, just like going to a church, staying with families and getting to know people that way. And it's incredible.
Wonderful. So it's a ministry not only for you, but it's also for a ministry for the church and the families who welcome you and are the host families and welcome you in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you said something really important, that what attracted you to this ministry, All About Kids Productions, is that it glorified God. And as a parent, that is exactly why I signed my children up, too, because I thought, wow, with all the praise worship teams that we have at churches, and even a lot of churches are using a lot of drama. They have drama clubs to get across to their congregants, the life of Christ. And I mean, let's admit it. I mean, even Jesus Christ was always talking in parables mm-hmm. and trying to just put a vision inside of people's minds and their hearts for, you know, his Christian purpose. So with that said, I know that we had such a fabulous time on Friday evening. If I can just share a little bit about our personal experience with All About Kid Productions, Lamplight Artists. It was $150 a child, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was 9 to about 4 every day, Eric?
Yes.
Monday through Friday. And there were a couple of hours on Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
And we would pack their lunch. And then my girls had just the most fabulous, fabulous time with you all. And I'm actually, Julia and Isabella are with us in the studio. And I am going to ask Julia to tell you her most favorite thing that she did at camp, All About Kids Productions for the week, where they did the big, huge production of A Tale of Two Houses, which went through a lot of Christ's parables. What was your favorite experience at camp, Julia?
My favorite experience was...
singing all of the songs?
Yeah, singing all the songs and learning all the dance moves.
And mommy's favorite song is your favorite song, right? I don't want to lose the. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Well, I do also like Made to Love the same.
Okay, that's an awesome one too. I'll give that to you. That's great, Isabella. What was your favorite part of camp?
My favorite part of camp was doing the dress rehearsal. It was really fun to do the show all the way through.
Thanks, Isabella. And Eric, you know what? You really taught the children. You taught them what a dress rehearsal is. What does that look like? You did a lot of choreography with them. So, yes, it was a lot of fun. Yes, you're planting seeds, doing a lot of Bible verses, Bible stories, praying with the kids at the beginning of the day. But you are also teaching them technical things as well. Can you tell us a little bit about what you taught the kids on the, you know, singing, dancing, choreography, directing?
Yeah. My main focus this year as a team member was doing theater games in the morning and then teaching a younger kid drama in the afternoon and a dance in the afternoon. And so through that, in theater games, we got to play a lot of fun games that really brought the kids out of their shells, and I let them know each other better, because a lot of the churches, it's not just people from the church coming. It's people from the community. It's family members. Like
that's right. We don't go to that church.
And so they it just helps us to get to know each other a little bit better and interact with each other and become more comfortable with each other. And through that, we also learn different things about like how important it is to face the audience and how important it is to project. So that the audience can hear us. And so we learned those basic acting skills through that, and then we get to use that later in the day when we do the dramas or even like with the dances or with singing. It all connects to each other, and we want to bring those connections out and let the kids realize, yeah, this does affect this other part of camp. It's not all separate, and we don't just do this for fun and that for fun. It's connected, and we can learn from it.
Well, let me tell you something that the girls have been doing in the backseat of the car for the last couple of weeks since they had camp. It's some kind of singing exercise, like something about McDonald's, something about having a heart attack.
Yes.
And I'm actually going to have the girls do. This is something that you did with them every day,
yes.
I think, to get them prepared for singing. Can you explain a little bit about what they're going to do?
Yeah. Every morning we have a little time for warm-up, just because it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I know I'm not really a morning person. So it's a little thing, and we vary it up each day, just to get the kids up, moving, active, and have a lot of fun. And so this one is called the banana song. That's what we call it. So
Julie and Isabella, start the banana song, but don't sing every verse. Just sing two verses.
Form, banana.
Then we peel, banana. Peel, banana.
Peel, banana. Peel, banana.
Then we go,
bananas. Go, bananas.
Form, McDonald's.
Form, McDonald's. Then we eat the Big Mac. Eat the Big Mac. eat the Big Mac. Eat the Big Mac. Then a heart attack. Heart attack. Heart attack.
Awesome. I love that demonstration. And you can't see what I'm seeing here in the studio, but there's a whole bunch of motions that go with that song. So, again, we absolutely adored Drama Camp. If they want to find out, if they want to sign up their kids for summer camp, mm-hmm. because this is not something that you do in the winter months, like over Christmas break, right. over Easter break, this is only summer for July and August?
For June and July.
June and July. And
August.
And
yeah.
a little bit of August. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would they go to lamplightartist.com?
Yes.
And probably identify where a church is having all about kids productions come. And Lamplight Artists is a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization. So I know that we donated that evening, and I know that a lot of other people may want to donate to such a fabulous, cutting-edge, high-profile, new ministry like this. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you think that we need to know, Eric?
Yeah, there's multiple ways to get involved, no matter what age you
True.
Are. So if you're a parent who wants to get their kids involved, or you're a kid listening to this and you want to get involved, take that initiative, then yeah, they'll have the churches listed kind of as they come closer in like May, March or May. And so you can find a church and then get connected that way. Or you can try to convince your church. And there's a place on the website where if your church wants to sign up and do a camp this summer, there's a way to do that as well.
And just so I understand, Eric, it doesn't cost the church anything except for opening their facility to you and hosting all the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, okay. And then, because that's just a wonderful opportunity for churches are looking for ways to get out into the community. And I know that mm-hmm. tons of parents, you know, all of my friends have their children signed up in soccer camps and tennis camps. And actually, our church this year, we've done Bible school two separate weeks, but we started doing a soccer camp a couple of years ago. We have 2 weeks of soccer camp because that's a great way to get the community in to hear about mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, to pray with these kids, to put them on a different path, and you know, meet the needs of the community. So again, this is another way, All About Kids Productions, Lamp Light Artists. Check mm-hmm. them out at lamplightartist.com. We wish all the best to you.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Definitely.
Man, I want to tell you, I'm trying to get somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy?
Let's go. Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a piece full of eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters here every Friday from 8 until 9, 1180 WFYL, working ferociously for your liberty here in the Philadelphia area. And we just enjoyed a wonderful interview with Eric. He is with All About Kids Productions, sharing the gospel with our kids through the arts. So I just want to thank him and encourage all of you who are listening to sign your kids up for the summer of 2015. I can't believe I'm saying that. For Lamplight Artist Ministries, go to lamplightartist.com. Well, we are back to school already. This was the fastest summer ever. I know I say that every summer, but I just feel like this summer again was so fast. I can't believe that I'm saying back to school. Actually, after I leave the station today, I'm going school shopping with my girls. We're going to get all of the tools, all the resources, all the new clothes, everything that we need for the fall and this new year. So that made me think about, what is your tradition? What do you do for back to school with your family? I know that I do a special breakfast, and Victoria has a special outfit that she wears to the first day of school, and we get her hair cut, and now she's old enough, I even get her little eyebrows waxed. It's kind of fun to do.
And my other two little girls, who I actually homeschool, we do similar fun things. Actually, we listen for the school bus to roar past our house that first day of school while we're warm and comfy in bed still in our PJs, because that's what homeschool families can do. And we think about how awesome it is that we're homeschooled. No, I'm just joking. That's homeschooling's not for everyone. But, you know, my oldest does go to public school and she adores it. I homeschooled her for a little bit. And now I have still the two little ones at home with me. But so for Victoria, heading off to public school, we go to Walmart because I think they have the best prices, and we get all of her school supplies. And they actually have DaySpring stuff that has Bible verses on the notebooks, which I love because I feel like we all get visual stimulation everywhere all day long. So although we're all hiding God's words in our kids' hearts, it's really nice that she can have a notebook that says, Jesus is my BFF. They're very cool. They're very colorful. Or maybe it has a Bible verse on it that says, you know, something like the song that we just listened to, which is, you know, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul, Mark 8:36. So they have super cool things there. Anyway, we do a special breakfast. I give them whatever they wish, a special lunch that day. And, of course, I take pictures of the kids and we post on Facebook. You know, this is their big new day in 8th grade, 6th grade, and 4th grade I'm going to have this year. And I do highly recommend. DaySpring also has a fabulous back-to-school planner for you very busy families. So check that out as well. But I started thinking about, you know, school starting, that means that schedules, rigid schedules, especially for those of us that have more than one child, grades, behavior concerns, homework, extracurricular activities, everything is taking center stage once again. And all of these things are really important, but for some of us, they're going to present things like financial issues. Sometimes we have home and car maintenance problems. There's things happening at work. Sometimes there's relational struggles that we're going through. And all of this is happening at the same time that we're sending our kids off to school at a very busy time. So we want this time for our kids to be something that is a blessing to us and not necessarily a burden. You know, they only are going to live their childhood once. They're only going to be in this grade for this year only. So let's try and teach our kids to delight in elementary school or high school or college. Let's show them as parents or grandparents or caregivers, you know, that we're not going to do things perfectly. We may not always get straight A's, but are we doing our best and are we being a blessing to others? So let that be at the forefront. You know, I tend to be very type A. My husband is type A. I say my children are double A. And I think that although we all want to create little Mozarts and little tennis pros, or you can fill in the blank with what's important to your family, I have to constantly remind myself that that is absolutely not important. What is important is that my little child is being a little light for Jesus Christ in their little part of the world. So again, I hope that just helps you as you're going into your school year, that this can be liberating for you and a powerful year where you find balance in parenting, and that, you know, discipline is a positive thing, to be on schedules. My children know that they are in their beds by 9 o'clock. They have to be bright and wide-eyed first thing in the morning. We do not tolerate moodiness. We do not have time for moodiness and bad behavior. You know, I'm quick to stop that. So I just pray that you have a wonderful year with your kids. All right, for those of you who are sending your children off to college for the first year, I am not there yet, but I talked to some friends who are there, and we talked about what are the important things. What are you doing to make your child's freshman year at college an easy one? And also, we have to remember that, you know, I feel like I'm in 8th grade again, and in 6th grade and 4th grade. Yes, it's my children that are studying, but I feel some kind of ownership to helping them and nurturing them through their grades. And so I know that a lot of my friends who do have children going off to college, they feel like they're going off to college, and they're preparing for this wonderful event as well. So we talked about a few things. First of all, obviously at the forefront is prayer. You should be praying for your child, with your child. Let them know that you're praying for them, that the Lord's going to bring into their lives really great teachers, really great friends. And who's their best friend but none other than God? They're never going to be alone. Another thing that they were saying is that don't ask your kids if they're homesick. They probably are going to be. I know that I was very homesick the whole entire year that I was away at college. And but it's not going to be a positive thing to ask them if they're homesick. But I think it will be a wonderful thing if you call. Not too much. You don't want to be a helicopter parent. But to call, to write them, to keep writing them. That is one thing that both of my parents did, and even one of my grandmothers. I would get letters at least once a week from my father and my grandmother, and I adored going to that mailbox and getting mail. So even when I did not write them back, because I didn't write them back, keep writing to your children at college and write them, you know, what's happening at home and encourage them in their studies and that you're praying for them with their big exams and their papers. I know that that's something that my parents did for me, and I really appreciate that. They still are always telling me that they're praying for me. Something else that you can do as a parent that friends have shared with me is, you know, ask questions. Ask them how they're doing. Who are their friends? You know, have they found a good church? Are they involved with any groups on the campus? But, of course, as moms and dads, you need to understand that there is always a fine line of moderation. You want to ask questions, but don't ask too many. And they also talked about visiting. You want to visit them. I remember that my parents visited for Parents Weekend in October. I could not wait to see them, and I did get a lump in my throat and chest pain when I saw them drive away in the station wagon with my brothers. But, you know, obviously your college student is going to grow a lot fonder probably of you as parents and their home, but they do want to see you. So visit them, but not too often. So you want to write, you want to visit, you want to ask questions, but not too many. You know, another thing that one of the parents told me that actually has a senior in college now, she said, you know, you want to expect that they are going to change. Now, you don't want to see radical changes like you have a child go off to school and they come back, you know, with the gothic look, you know, and limited eye contact. Maybe you want to communicate and talk and find out exactly what they're learning and what's going on at school. But you are going to expect change. They are going to be more independent. Are they going to have a curfew when they come home? That's something that you have to think about. I mean, I remember my parents saying to me, Carla, you know what? We think that this is a healthy hour for you to get in the house, but you've just been away at college for 6 months and we've trusted you. We have no idea where you are or what you're doing at night. And so we trust that you're going to respect us as parents when you come home for Christmas break or for Easter break. So I hope that some of these things help those of you that are getting your children in the car and driving them or flying them to their freshman year at college. So pray for them. Don't ask them if they're homesick. Write to them even when they don't write back. Visit if you're able to, but not too often. Ask questions, not too many. And expect them to change, but hopefully they're not changing too radically. And, you know, I think that it's also a big deal that you have to let them know that you trust them. So, you know, that means that you're not texting them 24/7. You know, you have to give up certain trust to them. And I always think that it's healthy. You know, some of us have parents who are able to pay for college, which is a huge gift. Some of us have parents, we have to take out loans. But education, no matter how you're doing it, is a huge gift. And I think that it's really important to share with all of our students, whether they're in elementary school or they're up through college, that, you know, it's a gift and it should not be wasted. It's a ridiculous expense on our time as well as monetarily, and it should absolutely not be wasted. And I highly recommend that it takes 4 years to get out of college, if not less than 4 years. Corinne, who's in the studio with me, graduated from Millersville, and you did it in what, Corinne?
I did it in 3.5 years.
So Corinne is sitting right here. She did it in 3.5 years. And she
best decision I ever made, because I did internships during the summer, and that's where I gained so much valuable experience. Best decision I ever made.
Thank you for giving us your experience. So it can be done. Don't say that it can't be done, that you need 5 years, that you need 6 years. It's too expensive now to do it any longer than 4 years, and take her as an example and do it in 3.5 years if you can. And that's awesome. I didn't know that you did so many internships. That's
great. I had 3 different internships. As soon as I could get one, I got one. I didn't get one after my freshman year, but I had one after my sophomore year, and then I had 2 the summer after my junior year, and then I graduated halfway through what would have been my senior year. So.
Which probably enabled you to get this job so quickly, because I'm looking at you. She's so gorgeous and so young, but she's so brilliant, too. So that's, you know, I'm in Corinne's fan club. All right. We're going to talk about homeschooling a little bit now, because I'm the mom that has public school. I'm a graduate of public school. My husband's a graduate of public school. But we had this fabulous idea when we had our first child that we were going to homeschool for a little bit. So let me share with you a little bit about the homeschooling opportunities that are out there as well for all of you who are toying with the idea of homeschooling or are actually homeschooling. Number one, top 10 reasons that I chose to homeschool my little ones. And every family that you're going to talk to is going to have different reasons. But I adored the flexibility that homeschooling gives to me. What I mean by that is we can start after Labor Day if we want to, or we can start our schooling before Labor Day. We can take a whole entire month off for December and do all the fabulous Christmas holiday stuff, or we can work through December and get finished earlier, you know, May 1st, and take 4 months off for the summer. I have friends that homeschool 12 months out of the year. I tend to do September to like the middle of May. I need a break. I can't do 12 months. So I adore the flexibility of homeschooling. And that really worked for me because at the time my husband was a resident, so we did not get to see a lot of daddy. And when he was home, let's say he came home at 10 o'clock in the morning after working a 38-hour shift. You know, my kids, we hadn't seen him in a while. My children were home. They could have breakfast with daddy, play with him for an hour. He crashes and goes to sleep. Or when my husband still has conferences, I can take the kids. We can go and travel with him. We don't have to be locked into that school schedule. My other reason that I love homeschooling is because we get to spend a lot of extra time with family. For example, my children will sleep over at Mom and Pop-Pop's house in the middle of the week, or they'll sleep over at Aunt Annie and Uncle Eric's house in the middle of week because my sister-in-law happens to also be a homeschool mom. So I love the family piece, the community that it gives my children. And it's not just when, if you choose to homeschool, your children are not just going to be around a pair of 5-year-olds all day. My children react very well around infants all the way up to 98 years old because we're not just locked in to the same children and the same one teacher every day all day long. We feel comfortable in all situations with all ages, which I adore. I love that we have museums all to ourselves. When we had our Franklin Institute membership, we would go there on Mondays and Tuesdays, which are the days that are less frequented. And if we were studying the heart, for example, we might run through that heart 100 times. I'm not joking. We might walk through that heart 100 times. I have my textbook in my hand, and I'm showing the girls the aorta, and I'm showing them the veins, and I'm showing them the ventricles and the atriums, and there is no one. I felt like every museum, the Philadelphia Museum of Art, the Natural Sciences Museums, if you want to go out to the Leonardo da Vinci out in Allentown, you will have these museums all to yourselves. And let me tell you how fabulous the museums are. They cater to homeschoolers. We went to a lot of fabulous homeschooling classes there. For example, we did a great class at the Franklin Institute. My girls, when they were 5 and 6 years old, we dissected a sheep's heart, we dissected a frog, and we dissected, I believe it was, a cow eyeball, which are things that I didn't even do until high school. My kids had the privilege of doing when they were in kindergarten and first grade. My kids were also signed up for ski classes that we did every Monday because, again, Monday the mountain is dead. So We would go to homeschooling day where there's a decreased cost, and we have the whole entire mountain to ourselves. So guess what? I don't have to feel like I need to get my money's worth. My kids by 12 o'clock have already had about 40 runs down the mountain. We can go home. So again, I love that the museums, the ski mountains, the theater are all our own when we're homeschooling. Very few crazy evenings when you homeschool. A lot of my girlfriends who have their children in traditional school, their kids come home from school at 2:30 in the afternoon or 4, and then they have to race to tennis lessons, to soccer, to piano lessons, flute lessons. I tend to do all of that stuff at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we're usually home by about 3:30. I can do a fabulous dinner. My husband comes home. You know, it's just not this craziness. You know that now I have one in public school, so it's a little crazy now, but if you decide to homeschool and keep them all home, you're going to love that you have very few crazy evenings. I love that it can be child-paced. What I mean by that is I had one little girl that loved doing math, so she did 2 school years of math in 1 year because we would just do 10 lessons a day. I had another little girl that disliked math. We would only do 1 lesson a day, but she loved to read for hours and hours and hours, so she would just read all day long. So it has a little bit of a Montessori feel if you wanted to. It's not like when you're in school. 45 minutes is up, the bell rings, close your book, go to the next class, now you have to open your book for history. Close the book, now you have to open the book after another 45 minutes. You can really dig into material with your kids when you're homeschooling. Love that it's a nurturing environment. In my opinion, and I know that people that are anti-homeschooling will say not all homeschooling environments are nurturing. That may be true. But my experience has been that those families that choose to homeschool, they're not keeping their children home to yell at them all day long. They're keeping their children home to provide a nurturing environment, decrease their anxiety, no bullying going on unless it's sibling rivalry, which you will see on occasion. But when we decrease our child's anxiety, it's proven that you're going to increase their memory and increase their learning. That's just a fact. I love that for me, it can be Christ-centered or God-centered or faith-centered. So for me, we do a classical Christian approach. I teach my children that God created everything. He created language. He created math. He created the world, which is science and biology, and the stars, astronomy. Therefore, that is our starting point for everything, and we do our best in everything. We want to speak very well because God created language. We want to articulate and write well because God created writing. So I like that I can bring that into my studies. You know, I never was one of these moms that was homeschooling my children for the safety issue, but I will tell you that when I put my little girl into public school, they practice once a month intruder drills where Victoria, you know, an alarm will sound. The teacher goes over and pulls the shade down, locks the door. She pulls down all the shades that are near the windows as well as the door, and she rushes all the children to the back of the class, and they put their desks up, like, to protect them against an intruder rushes into their room. You know, my two that are home with me, we don't have to practice those intruder drills. Now, I don't want you to get upset about intruder drills because, you know, during World War II, our children were practicing bomb threat drills, and I was always doing fire alarm drills, and I was never fearful. It didn't give me a world of anxiety. So if your children are in public school, private school, this is the world that we live in now. They need to do intruder drills. They must do them. But it's your job as a parent to make sure that your kids just understand that this is what they need to do prayerfully. That's never going to happen in their school. But certainly my daughter goes to a great public school, and they've had lockdown where they've needed to lock down the school because someone wrote something on the bathroom wall. And again, I'm at a very, very safe school, so it is happening everywhere. So, of course, the two little ones that are home with me, I don't really have to worry about safety. Now, that doesn't mean that a maniac's not going to come into my house, of course. But again, safety is something to think about when you're homeschooling. I think it's probably a positive. Something else that my children got to do, that if you're a homeschool parent, you can do things outside of the box. My children, when they were younger, were able to model for a company called Heartstrings because we were able to go on lake location to New York City or to the beach or wherever we were going. And I would bring our books with us, and we could stay out late until 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night because we would just wake up a little bit later. And let me tell you what a fabulous experience that was, that my children could meet fashion designers. They could meet people who were behind the camera, production, such a and meet other models, other children from other states. That was really exciting. My other daughter also got to be a supernumerary, which is an extra, in the Philadelphia Opera Company. Again, I was going into Center City, Philadelphia every day for about 3 months there. But what an awesome experience for her to be on stage with fabulous sopranos like Christina Gorky and other wonderful tenors, and just the experience that we had there. Nothing in public school or private school can compete with that. You just can't. I'm sorry. So you can do so many things outside of the box when you homeschool. And my number one reason that I homeschool is socialization, which I know I'm probably hearing some crickets in the background, because every person that I come into contact with, whether it's at Target or at the pediatrician's office, usually they'll say to me, your children are so well behaved. They play so nicely together. Where do they go to school? And I'll say, I homeschool them. And then there's a silence, and they look like a deer in headlights, and either they look at me like I'm an absolute sinner and child abuser, or they look at me like I'm an absolute saint, and how can I do that? But what I want to share with you is that most of these people say, what about socialization? Even though they just said to me that my children are so well-behaved, and they're, you know, interacting so well together, and they play so nicely and imaginatively together. The next question is always, what about socialization? So if I'm in a challenging mood, I will say, well, let me ask you, how do you think the children were socialized at Columbine? Which usually, you know, helps them to think outside of the box that, you know, public school is not doing the best job socializing our children. And then I'll bring it back to homeschooling. And I will say to them, the reason that I do adore socialization with homeschooling is because my children are not around, you know, fifth graders all day long. I love that my children can be around, you know, people at a model shoot, or they can be around people of all different ages at the Philadelphia Opera Company, you know, learning all about that. Or they can be spending their day with family, or they can be spending their day on an organic farm with the farmers and learning. I like that they are not around 25 other 10-year-olds all day long. I think that it's a positive thing that they learn how to nurture and play with a 12-month-old, and they learn how to communicate and be sensitive and learn from their 98-year-old great-grandmother. So the number one reason that I socialize, that I homeschool, is for socialization reasons. And something else that I often say when people say that to me is, you know, I don't want to sound too skeptical, but in reality, our children, when we're sending them to school, And I've learned this in my own experience, because remember, I have one that I mainstreamed a couple of years ago. There's some parents who homeschool and they just know that they're going to homeschool all the way up to college. I was never like that. My husband and I always thought, you know, let's give them a huge foundation spiritually, emotionally, and academically, and then let's put them into public school so they can be part of their community, and, you know, they can start learning how to give back, and they can learn how to be a part of, you know, their bigger community. So, you know, that's the reason that we did that. But I have absolutely noticed that with Vittoria, I've had to do a lot of retraining. Maybe she comes home from school and she's picked up words, like she'll say JS mom, which means just saying mom. You know, I'm not really fond of her speaking to me like that. So we've, you know, she'll come home with some edgy attitudes, which I like to nip in the bud right away. You know, sometimes she brings cute things home from school. I personally adore her friends, and I've loved all of her teachers, and I love her experience in public school. But I will still tell you that if your children are in public school, I am probably emailing teachers about once a month saying, gosh, is this like a good project that you want to give to the kids? Maybe we should have them do a paper on this person and not that person. Or, you know, can I come in and talk to the kids about the definition of hero, you know, how I view that, or maybe a different definition of this, that, or the other thing. So if your children are in public school, don't think that you're just giving them your child and your child's brain. You should be in there. You should be looking through their textbooks. You should be talking to their teachers. You should be held accountable. You are their teacher's bosses. You are the school board's bosses. You elected that school board. You elected that school administrator. You make sure that you understand what your children are learning in that school. And if there's something that you feel should be taught in the school, bring it to their attention. I think that they would probably be very receptive to a parent that wants to help. I know that my daughter's school is. They're very receptive to parental support, and I think that that is why our school is number one in the state of Pennsylvania. There's three charter schools above us, which charter schools, you know, you can get rid of the children that are behavior challenged or naughty. But we're the fourth school there, which I consider to be the number one public school. But even, you know, I think that we're the number one because there is so much parental involvement, and we have such a strong PTO. So I would recommend that if your kid's in public school, that you would get involved with PTO and get out to that. One last thing that I want to share with you before our time is up together today here at Your Family Matters, 1180 WFYL. I hope that you join us every Friday. Remember, you can stream in, and we're also on Facebook. Look us up on all of your social networking. I want to share with you something that I have done with my family for the last few years, and this is for homeschool families. It is something that is done by the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. Every year, this year it's going to be the weeks of Saturday, September 6th, until Sunday, September 21st. They actually have homeschool weeks for all of us who are homeschool families. They have reduced rates for us at the hotels and at Williamsburg, Virginia. I believe Jamestown is also included in this. You have to be a homeschooler to be able to get this rate, but they have a lot of fabulous programs for our homeschool kids. They have Bits and Bridles, which is a class that they're going to be doing for the children that are interested in animals and carriages, you know, during the revolutionary time. They also have The Life of a Soldier, that they are going to have your children actually go through the day and life of a soldier and what it was like to be at a military encampment. They have the Tinsmith's Apprentice, where you will actually learn to apprentice with a tinsmith back in the revolutionary days. You can also have the opportunity to be a printer's apprentice. You can practice being Benjamin Franklin, one of our great patriarchs, or an archaeological detective. So again, you can go to Williamsburg, Virginia. Just Google it. I don't have the website in front of me, but the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. This is something that's happening in Williamsburg, Virginia. They've been doing it for years. I have attended this with my family. I highly recommend it. It's beginning Saturday, September 6th. And it's going until Sunday, September 21st. So I hope that you can get out there in September. So back to school for all of your families. I pray that it will be a wonderful 2014-2015 year for you. No matter what you decide to do, whether it's homeschool, public school, private school, it is my prayer for you that you are raising purposeful, kingdom-minded kids who are going to be great leaders in their communities, that they are going to be critical thinkers. So that's my prayer for you. I hope that you join us next week right here again on Your Family Matters with Carla Dedesi. Remember to check all of our podcasts, which are at 1180wfyl.com. But if you were not able to hear all of Your Family Matters today, you can always go right up onto our website and check out all of our podcasts. But Your Family Matters with Carla Dedesi is there. I believe we have May, June, July, and August. And again, you can go to my personal Julia Learns Facebook page. I also have a Twitter account. But also, please become friends with us. Like us on Facebook at 1180 WFYL. We always have fun things happening here at the station, and you can find out about what's happening right here in your community. Also want to share that I am on the board of my Crisis Pregnancy Center, and WFYL is a sponsor of our 5K, which is happening Saturday, September 20th. You can go to mercycrisispregnancycenter.org, Google us. It's in Reading area. We are having our run that Saturday morning, September 20th, at 9 a.m. out in the Muhlenberg area. 100% of our proceeds are going to help moms choose life for their children and provide them with diapers, clothing, counseling classes. We bring the daddies in, the grandparents in, anything that we are able to do to help moms choose life for their children. You know, it's one thing to be pro-life, but now we need to also help those moms that decide to choose life for their baby. So I hope that you will join me and our whole team. We're all going to be out there on September 20th for the March for Life. It's called Love and Life 5K for Mercy Crisis Pregnancy Center, September 20th at 9 a.m. in Muhlenberg. Thank you for joining us.